You're listening to WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Jerry Kenny. Thanks for joining us this Sunday morning and joining me in studio for a rundown of this year's LGBT Film Festival, the 12th annual, in fact, is Jonathan McNeil, manager with the Neon Movies in downtown Dayton.
Hi, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Oh, sure. Jonathan, so your press release this year asked a question, and I'm going to let you answer it. What do Bette Midler, Danny Glover, Danny DeVito, Laura Linney, and Ian McKellen, and Laverne Cox all have in common?
Well, they're all part of films that are playing at this year's festival.
Great. I'm excited. Bette Midler is going to be here.
Well, Bette Midler is not going to be here, unfortunately. She has a gig on Broadway, so she can't make it. No, she's in a film actually that's opening night, which is called Freak Show, and she's one of the people in that film. Now, that whole list are not all in Freak Show. Those are different folks from different films, but her and Laverne Cox both have small parts in Freak Show.
So it's a whole weekend of films, and this event grows every year.
That's right. We've seen nice growth every year, fewer and fewer empty seats throughout the weekend. And it's just really great community support from businesses and people to help make it happen.
Well, let's state right up front that the all-weekend passes went fairly quickly this time around, but tickets are available for all films.
Yes, we do at this point still have single tickets available for all the shows. And some of them will go quickly, though. Press really hasn't hit yet for the festival. It's really only been kind of past attendees that know about the festival. And if maybe you saw a flyer around town or something. But otherwise, opening night will go and be a full house regardless, because that $8 gets you a movie that is fresh off of a premiere in L.A. earlier this summer. And then it's directed by Trudy Styler, you know, married to Sting. She's a great director who adapted this young adult novel called Freak Show. And then you get into the opening night party, and that gets you a complimentary cocktail and appetizers. So
let's talk a little bit about the premise of Freak Show and then talk about the other films.
Freak Show is about a boy in a high school who's having trouble fitting in, but really doesn't want to fit in necessarily, wants to be his own person, and decides to run for homecoming queen.
And then you've got a little bit later start on Saturday at 12:30 with Top Drawer Shorts, which is kind of a fan favorite.
Yes. People didn't really know what to make of them initially, like what's a collection of shorts, but it has grown and is now usually a sold out screening as well. So we just look at, over 70, 80 short films and come up with a collection of what we think are the best. And this year there are, I believe, 7 shorts that play in that section.
And international films as well.
All over the map. Yep. So comedies, drama, documentary, international, all things that are just short subject matter and make a nice hour and a half piece.
And Danny DeVito appears in one of the shorts, Curmudgeon?
He does, actually. Curmudgeons was a play initially written by Joshua Conkle, and we're actually bringing Joshua in as one of the guests for the festival. He wrote the play. The play was in New York, and Danny DeVito's daughter saw it, if I remember correctly, and she wanted her father to be involved in an adaptation, and Danny DeVito ended up directing and starring in the film, actually.
Following the shorts, you've got something that I'm pretty excited about, The Untold Tales of Amistad Maupin.
So this is a documentary about Amistad, and this is actually one of the highest-rated films from the committee this year. People on the committee really loved it. It got nearly perfect scores from everyone on the committee. It's a film about his life and his military background and his living in San Francisco and writing these books that became very beloved and then adapted into film. So Laura Linney is in it. Of course, she was in the adaptation of the Tales of the City, and Ian McKellen and some other recognizable faces too.
You mentioned that the films are put together by a committee. Let's talk briefly about that process.
Sure. So there are several people on the committee. We try to make a nice, well-rounded group of diverse folks in the community who want to invest or are willing to invest a couple hundred hours over the summer to look at all these films and curate what we think is the strongest lineup available.
You've got 2 other selections to round out Saturday, Sensitivity Training, which was a popular pick by the committee.
Yes, this is one that the committee loved. It's a comedy. It's really, really fun, about a woman who works in a lab and is really uptight and really kind of terse with her employees. And they just determine that she needs some sensitivity training. And the woman who is her, who comes in to counsel her, we found out after we booked the film that she grew up and graduated from Beaver Creek High School. So we're flying her in as one of the guests as well, Jill Alexander. And she's very funny in this film, and she actually has quite a resume. She was on several episodes of Mad Men. She's on the TV show Silicon Valley. So very great, gifted comedic actress.
Great. And we'll round out Saturday night with Alaska is a Dragon, is the premise right there in the title?
It is. So it's about a guy that works at a fishery in Alaska and does drag on the side and is certainly bullied at work. And we're flying in the director of that film as well. So she's L.A. based now, and but did work for some time in a fishery in Alaska. And interestingly, of the 7 feature films we have this year, 5 of them are directed by women, which is a really great ratio in today's climate of filmmaking.
Well, great. And audiences really take to guests who come in to speak who have been involved in these films.
That's right. It gives audiences an opportunity to engage with directors and talent associated with the films and really kind of make it more personal and more kind of understanding of both the process and of the climate of what it's like to make films with LGBT content.
And I'm always impressed with the questions from the audience. The Dayton community is pretty in tune with the issues that are being addressed in some of these
films. That's right. Pretty savvy audiences generally. Yep.
Let's talk about Sunday. We're going to start off at 1 o'clock in the afternoon with Pushing Dead. Tell us about that.
Pushing Dead. It's hard to say that it's an HIV comedy, but it is. It's about a man who is dealing with the cost of medical expenses associated with his HIV. He accidentally puts a check from his mother that was $100 birthday check into his savings account and is thus deemed making too much money to be receiving the medical services that he's receiving. It's touching, but it's also very timely and topical about talking about insurance and health benefits, things like that. Danny Glover actually plays a friend of his in the film and is really pretty terrific.
What else do we have on Sunday?
Sunday, then, we go on to Rebels on Point, which is a tremendous documentary about the Trocadero Ballet Troupe, which is the drag ballet, which these really incredibly gifted dancers who do kind of traditional ballet, but with a bit of a middle finger, extended, because they're on point. We never see male ballet dancers in point shoes and doing the work that we traditionally associate with ballerinas.
And to wrap up on Sunday, it's God's Own Country, a film from the UK.
That's right. IndieWire actually called this film the UK's Brokeback Mountain, but better. And it really is a lovely, gorgeous, hopeful, romantic film.
If you have to sum up this year's LGBT Film Festival, as far as selection, variety, diversity, how would you do that?
We have a little something for everybody. There's a lot of films directed by women, but not a whole lot of female content. More Sensitivity Training, which is our centerpiece film on Saturday, is about women. But there hasn't been a lot of female content out there for us to look at and feel like really rose to the surface. So it's a tough place to be in. We wish there was more, but we really want to put quality and diversity in the same mix. You know, I think it's interesting that almost every year people ask me, whether it's press or whether it's community members or just patrons at the Neon, wonder why there is still a need for an LGBT film festival. And they ask, there's so much representation and narrative plot points on television and in movies about LGBT characters. Why is there a need? And I think it's very interesting this year that I have not been asked that question one time by anyone. And I think that the LGBT community is certainly seems to be under more of an attack in the last year than in the past several years. We made a lot of progress, but now we're taking some hits again. And I feel like the community knows that it is important for us to have a voice and to create community and to continue to educate.
The Neon has a rich tradition of bringing independent films to Dayton audiences. This LGBT Film Festival begins Friday night, October 13th, and runs through Sunday the 15th. Jonathan, where can we get additional details?
You can go to DaytonLGBT.com, and all the information is there, a link for tickets, some trailers to watch, synopsis of each film, all that stuff. So and a thanks to all of our sponsors.
Jonathan McNeil with Neon Movies, thanks so much.
Thank you.